Thank you very much, Nancy. Our next presenters will be Steve Sternloff and James Fisher, and they'll be talking about the ERASE program. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to talk about the ERASE program. I think with the limited amount of time we have, I thought we were going to have like an hour, hour and a half, and then James said, no, you got 15 minutes. What I want to do is talk about our model for facilitating the program and our model that we use to implement the program a little bit more than some of the specific details I would talk about if we had more time. We're with the University of Oklahoma Health Sciences Center in Oklahoma City. That falls under the College of Medicine. I'm in the Department of Pediatrics. I have the greatest team in the world. There's no doubt in my mind. We do get funding every year. One of our main funding sources for all of our programs are from the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. Our programs really focus on three main areas: advocacy, training, and service programs. We're not going to talk about advocacy today. We will talk a little bit about the training aspect that we utilize with universities across the state of Oklahoma, and I am going to talk a little bit about our service-based programs. We have some environmental prevention strategies that we utilize, and then some targeted prevention strategies that we utilize, one of those being a violence prevention program. This is the broad model that we use to implement our programs. We have some core staff members that I just showed. I think Renisha mentioned funding was a big concern for her program, and it's a concern for everyone. So we try to make the biggest bang for our buck, and this is how we do it. We work with, this year, 11 universities. We have students from 11 universities. These are primarily junior, senior undergraduates in health promotion, psychology, counseling, some in sociology, some in communications. We do have some graduate students also. Those students get course credit at their respective universities for working with us two semesters. And we get a great workforce that can go out into the communities across Oklahoma and provide some environmental strategies to those communities, and certainly get into the schools, the public schools, and provide a very targeted prevention approach with our violence prevention program. I'm going to skip ahead a lot, given our time. All of the prevention programs that are targeted, they are manualized, they're easy for our facilitators to follow. So each facilitator gets a manual. We have student activity workbooks that we provide to the students when we go out into the schools. The university facilitators have weekly lessons, weekly contact with the kids that they work with, and that seems to work out great. We then try to get that information home to parents as well. This was a study we did with the Oklahoma State Department of Health a few years back, and they surveyed over 2,000 parents in the state of Oklahoma. What are your major concerns? And 40%, over 40% said peer pressure. Almost a fourth said anger management or bad temper. And you can look down the list. We also asked them, who's responsible for this? Of course, they said family should be responsible, but an overwhelming response said the school's responsible for dealing with anger and violence and peer pressure from my kid. And that's kind of surprising. We all, everyone in this room knows it should be in the family, but we all know it's not occurring in the family. So our prevention programs, we have a number of prevention programs. These are the ones that we implement most often. ERASE stands for Everyone's Responsible for a Safe Environment. We want to stress responsibility for the kids. So if something happens at their school, it's not up to the school counselor, it's not up to the principal to deal with it, it's not up to the teacher. They should take responsibility for what happens at their school. So we teach violence prevention, peer mediation techniques. We also focus on diversity training. We also emphasize leadership. And I'm going to stay with the race because this is another example of how we can utilize small number of resources and reach a large number of kids. The way we implement the ERASE program, we send in our university facilitators that are trained on these programs that we meet with and supervise on a weekly basis at all 11 universities. And James will talk in a moment about some of the specific content. But they meet with a core group of kids, kids that are popular, kids that make good grades, and sometimes it's 15, sometimes 20 kids in that school, and they work with them on a weekly basis. It's then their responsibility to go back to their classrooms and to the rest of the school and get the word out. So it's peer-led teaching from that point. That way, one of our university facilitators can work with 20 kids at a particular school, yet make an impact on 400 kids. I've talked about most of these. We want the kids to be more aware of what's going on in their schools. We want the kids to be better prepared for conflict resolution, and we want them to also include others. We're working with a core group of kids that are already leaders in their school. We're training them to take more responsibility in accepting a leadership role, and that would also include inviting the new kid to sit at lunch with them, to play soccer at recess with them, to invite them over, to get to know the new kid or the kid that looks a little bit different, that dresses a little bit different, that might have a different skin color, that might talk a little bit different. The kids that are typically isolated or rejected and at a higher risk for violence in the school, we want these core group of kids, the leaders in the school, to include others. What we find, we do extensive program evaluation each year. It's primarily through pre- and post-test methods. And this is one example of what we typically find from year to year. We have an extremely large sample. We're working with usually over 50 schools across the state that are getting this violence prevention program. And we see awareness of school issues go up. We're teaching the kids, when we initially ask them, what is violence? And they say, oh, it's hitting or kicking. True. Yet, violence can mean much more. And we want to help the kids understand that. So violence could be name-calling. Violence could be graffiti on the school walls. Violence can mean so much more than just hitting or kicking. So we find after our program, the ERASE program, the kids' awareness of conflict or problems increase. That's what we want. Initially, the first year we did this, 7 years ago, we were a little alarmed, but we realized the first step to changing the school culture is being aware of what's going on in the school. The first step to changing any type of behavior is being aware of what's going on. So we'll see knowledge also go up. Do I know what to do if I see my friend being teased or I see my friend being a victim of assault? Do I know what to do in that situation? We see those increase also. And we see it a big difference when we compare that to control schools that don't receive the programs that look demographically similar. I'm going to skip over the specifics of working with the schools and let James talk about our training that we do with our university facilitators because that's really key. These are all of the universities that we are currently working with, that we have students in Oklahoma, and I think this is key to our model of getting out to as many schools and kids and making the impact as we do.
All right. Good group here. Wow. All right, so Steve just said these are all the universities that we work with. Let's see here. Here's kind of what it looks like on the map of Oklahoma. We're there in the center, Oklahoma City, the big star. And then over in Tulsa, you can see the three other stars and then just kind of spreading out. And it just kind of started a number of years ago just in the Oklahoma City area, and we've just recently been branching out quite a bit, trying to get these programs and messages out. Okay, so what we basically do is we go to a new university that we want to work with, for example, University of Oklahoma, and we'll go to the psychology department, behavioral science counseling departments, and we'll talk with them and get some kind of agreement to teach this class on prevention science and primary prevention. And they, you know, sometimes they send us, you know, the students that they think would be good, and sometimes we recruit, and we get a lot of students that are really interested in it, and then we, you know, we require a 2-semester commitment, and then, you know, we interview them. Okay. And I'm pointing to this, like you can see what I'm pointing to here. I don't know what that's all about, but I'm like, can't you see? Yeah, my finger's not showing up on this. But anyways, all right, so the first point here is interviews and expectations. We get a lot of people that are really interested in doing this, and so we interview them. We make sure that they're going to be, you know, willing and able to do this. They like kids, you know. We don't want them going to school. They don't like kids. You know, and that, you know, they're going to have the kind of, you know, expectations that we want them to have. Also do a criminal background check, you know, with the things that we have to do now. And so we meet with them every week. Personally, I meet with a group of undergrads every week at OU, and we have a great time, and we do the supervision. We teach them about the programs, and we teach them about just how to... What prevention is. A lot of times they don't really know what prevention means, and so we kind of teach them that. Sometimes if we can't get to a place, for example, on the map, you saw some of those stars were pretty far out. Every once in a while, we might have to do something by teleconferencing or something like that. But basically, we have this huge workforce, over 100 students around the state that go out into the community and teach prevention, and sometimes they do other environmental community projects. This is basically the concepts that we teach in our class. You know, first off, you know, we teach them how to be in a classroom with students, how to interact with kids, because a lot of times they're psych students and they don't really know. They're not education students. And so we talk about behavioral techniques, classroom management, and childhood development. Where are they? You know, what type of developmental level are these kids at? What should you really expect from them? You know, and we how to interact with school staff. A lot of the times they don't have any experience going into a school and talking with a counselor or talking with a teacher or a principal. Okay, what type of interaction would be professional and appropriate? How should you dress? What should you say? Things like that. Knowledge and principles of prevention. Protective risk factors. A lot of times, like I said, they don't really know exactly what prevention is. And it's not really something that's taught in psychology that often. Maybe, you know, primary, secondary, tertiary. It's about it. And so we kind of give them a more global idea of what prevention is. Advocacy training, going out to the community. Program design and evaluation. Towards the end of the 2 semesters, we really emphasize evaluation. And, okay, how do we know that we're doing what we think we're doing? And so we talk about all different types of evaluation and talk about how do you set up an evaluation? What's, you know, this logic model that's going on? You know, we talk about all this stuff with them. And then, obviously, multicultural diversity competence. Every single school that they go into, there's a diverse population there, whether it's, you know, SES, whether it's ethnicity, whether it's language. You know, Oklahoma has a high American Indian, Native American population, and so we really stress a lot of multicultural diversity competency. You know, what do you do if you're in a classroom with a kid that doesn't even speak English and you're teaching in English? Okay, how do you handle that situation? You know, so we go through all of these different things with the students. Okay. And just a picture, you know, a little color, you know, something else to look at besides words. So this is just some of our facilitators, and they went to a school and they set up a field trip, you know, with the students to go to the university and kind of show them what, you know, what it looks like to go to university. And, you know, the kids really had a great time doing that. And it was something kind of outside the box that they decided to do, and it was really fun. And the school still talks about it to this day. They're like, could we do that again sometime? That was great, you know. So, and I guess questions are at the very end, so that's that. We'll put the handouts at the very back of the room if anybody wants.